In the name of God, who has made us and who loves us and keeps us. Amen. And they kept silent, and in those days told no one any of the things they had seen. Perhaps John had fallen asleep while he was praying, and he was afraid to admit it. And while he slept, he thought he had had a dazzling and dizzying dream. Perhaps James rode weary and hungry, thought it was all a hallucination, that he mistook a blazing sunset for something even more sublime. Perhaps Peter, uncharacteristically quiet on the way back down the mountain, was embarrassed by his outburst on the mountain top, not knowing what to say. Perhaps none of them felt worthy of what they had witnessed, or that any words they chose would be adequate, or that what they had experienced could ever be believed. Of course, it hadn't been a dream. The way the appearance of Jesus' face had changed, the way glory had radiated from him as though he was lit from within. And it hadn't been a hallucination. The presence of Moses and Elijah, who long ago on other mountaintops had seen and heard God's glory in lightning and cloud and thundering silence. And who has ever known what to say in such a moment, when the veil that separates heaven and earth is removed, and right there in our seeing and hearing, heaven and earth mingle? Like in a backyard filled with fireflies and children chasing them, or in a stranger who comes to greet us unexpectedly at the peace. In a soaring descant played above the last verse of a hymn, in the movement of air unheard until it dances among high green leaves. Heaven and earth mingle, and we are rendered speechless. And they kept silent, and in those days told no one any of the things they had seen. Words could no more capture or contain what they had witnessed than building those dwelling places Peter mentioned could have. The light that they saw, the voice that they heard, would have to settle into their bones, their aching, tired bones, that went right back to work as they followed Jesus back down the mountain into crowds of broken lives. He did not shine down there as he had in that glorious moment up above. Down there, he was no different than he had always been, except that his sameness now contained more than it did before, as the sight and sound of heaven still mingled in him on earth. Today is the Feast of the Transfiguration, which always falls on August 6th, and so not always on a Sunday. When it does fall on a Sunday, we lay aside ordinary time, and together with Peter, John, and James, we climb the mountain where something extraordinary happened, something they did finally tell, or we would not be here with them. We would not have known the story. Not only did they find words, inadequate even as words like dazzling and overshadowed must be to describe such glory as they saw and heard, not only did they find words to tell the story itself, but they would go on to find words that told how the glory on the mountaintop was never meant to be contained in a story or a dwelling place, but rather released into the world, to become a glory that would be visible and audible in countless moments, in countless lives. Such words are usually better said by poets than by fishermen. But it was fishermen who saw the face of Jesus shine and who heard a voice proclaim him God's beloved Son. Their recollection of that would become a high point in the gospel account of the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, a story that still shimmers when it is told, a story that, though volumes have been written and spoken to try to explain its meaning, still renders us, in the moment we hear it, speechless. And yet, even those fishermen would come to understand that the moment was more than a story to tell of once upon a time on a mountain. It was, as one poet has written of moments of revelation, it was a glimpse of the underglimmer, of the shining light of God's love and grace and power and glory that had been present with them all along in the person of Jesus Christ. It was an opening up of the story that they were already living in and would continue to live in as they followed Jesus right back down the mountain. So as awareness slowly dawned in them in the days and weeks that followed, the fishermen themselves became something like poets, pointing us not just toward the event they experienced, but toward a way of living in the knowledge that in the valley, down that mountain, out in the world, it is the same God from God, light from light, true God from true God, who walks with us in Jesus Christ. Peter would write of having heard and seen the majestic glory that day, as we heard in our reading. But then he would also urge others, and so us, to be attentive to who Jesus is, Jesus in whom no veil separates holiness and humanity, heaven and earth. You would do well to be attentive to this, as to a lamp shining in a dark place, Peter writes, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. And John, after many years of reflection, would write a gospel filled with light. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it, he wrote. We have seen his glory, John goes on to say, and only in those few words does he even allude to the wonders he saw and heard on the mountain. He spends more time speaking of the light that was always in Jesus, though we did not always see it, and that when we walk in love as Jesus did, we walk in that light. The transfiguration did not change Jesus into something he had not always been, nor did it change the disciples into something that Jesus was not already helping us become. The glory revealed on that dazzling height was an invitation to see and hear in all times and in all places something more than what is apparent, something deeper, something truer, something more real than the reality we have always known. In Jesus Christ, heaven and earth have always been mingled on mountaintops, in valleys, in cities, in hearts, in moments of glory, in moments of agony, binding together grit and grace, divinity and dust. And because Peter, John, and James, though they were weighed down by sleep and a thousand other worries, because they watched and listened and reflected, because they talked about the light, because they and others after them walked in it, because of their witness, we now know to look for that under glimmer of glory, even on ordinary days, to listen for the voice of God even when clouds overshadow us. On this feast day of the Transfiguration, we are reminded with poet Elizabeth Barrett Browning that earth is crammed with heaven. We have only to remove our veils, whatever it is that keeps us from seeing, from hearing, from reflecting the light of Christ that is in us and all around us. What is it that weighs us down? When we have been dazzled anyway, rendered speechless by the appearance of heaven mingled with earth, God with us, what have we seen? What have we heard? Mary Oliver, another poet, though herself fond of fishing, suggests how we might practice living as though we too had been on that mountain with Jesus, or for that matter, in the valley the next day when he went back to work. How we might practice living as though we had seen him and the world he came to love and save, transfigured, which is to say, not only ordinary, but also filled with God. She writes simply, instructions for living a life. Pay attention. Be astonished. Tell about it. Amen.